Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and I'm pleased to be studying Sefer Shmuel with you. We have just concluded the very tragic and difficult episode of David and Bathsheba, and as I mentioned in the last podcast, are waiting to see what the larger ramifications and consequences of this episode will be, and it is not long before we find out. Vahi acharechen. Avshalom ben David, achot yafa ushma tamar. So Avshalom ben David, and the wording here is somewhat awkward, we have to figure out what it means. Avshalom, David's son, had a sister who was very pretty, and her name was Tamar. Tamar is, of course, a name that we've heard before in this family. Tamar, who was the wife of Yehuda. We're going to meet another Tamar yet in this episode. Vayaveh Amnon ben David. Now, why is Tamar not presented as a bat David? So Chazal have the following approach to it. They say that Tamar, and this will explain a confusion later on in the pasuk, in the perek, is that Tamar was born of a union between David and Avshalom's mother before she converted as a Yifat Toar. And then after she converted, Avshalom was born. So Avshalom and she are considered brother and sister. Nonetheless, she's not fully considered to be a Bat David. And as such, that will have implications further on. And that's why she's introduced the way that she is. And Amnon was very troubled with his love sickness for Tamar. She was a young maiden. It was beyond him what to do. He didn't know what to do about it. A nephew of David, who evidently was around the palace, was a friend of Amnon's. He was very smart. So he gave Amnon advice of how to get Tamar in his clutches. Why do you look so sickly or look so impoverished every morning? Halo tagidli, tell me what's wrong. He says, I love Tamar, the sister of Avshalom. Notice again, he doesn't say my sister. Doesn't say Bat HaMelech. Achot Avshalom. So Yonadav gave him advice. Shchav al mishkavcha. Lie on your bed. V'itchal. Act sick. Uva avicha lirotecha. Your father's going to come visit you. Ratai lav tavona tamar achoti v'tavreni lechem. Let Tamar come and bring me bread. V'yastal le'inayet habiryan. Let her make some sort of a cooked item in my presence. L'man asher erev achalti miyada. Evidently, people understood that if they watched an item being cooked that they then ate, that would make them feel better. And he said, if Tamar makes it, I'll feel better. And then you'll have her alone, and then you can do what you want. So Amnon lay down and acted sick. And so he exactly said that. Let her come and let her make two cakes in front of me, and I'll eat from her hands. So he sent Tamar. Here he calls Amnon her brother. Vasilo Habirya. But the notion here is that you're not doing this as a slave girl. After all, you're a princess. You're not doing this as anything but a family favor within your own family. Go make this cooked item for him. Vatela, it seems to be some sort of a pastry. Vatelach Tamar Beit Amnon Achiha. She went to Amnon, her brother. And now the text is starting to hone in on the fact that they are somewhat brother and sister. Vushochev, he was lying there. Vatikachat avatzek vatalo, she took the dough and started kneading it. Utvatlabev leina vatvashal tal vivot, and she made it in front of him, and she cooked these something like a bereka probably. Vatikachat amashreit vatitzok lefanav, and she placed it in front of him. Vayain lachol, and he refused to eat. And he said, get everybody out of here. Everybody left. So all the other servants left. It's just he and Tamar. Bring it to my room, and it's my bed chambers, and I'll eat it directly from you. She took these cakes or things that she made, and she brought it to Amnon, her brother, in the room. She, of course, is quite innocent here. She doesn't know what's going on. She brought it to him to eat, and he grabbed her, and he grabbed her and he said, come lie with me, my sister, which sounds like almost the same wording that Yosef's boss lady, Mrs. Potiphar, used in Breishit Lamed Tet. V'tomer lo al achi, al ta'aneni. Said, my brother, don't oppress me. That is, rape me. Ki lo ya'asechein b'Yisrael, al ta'aseh ta'nevala hazot. This is wording that exactly parrots the response of the brothers to Shechem, that it would be a nevala, that lo ya'asechein b'Yisrael, to do such a thing. And there is another word that reminds us of that parsha. Va'ani ana olichet cherpati. Where will I take my shame? Va'ata tiyak yachad ha'nevalim b'Yisrael. And you're going to be like one of the lowlifes b'Yisrael. I will be shamed. You'll be a lowlife. We'll both be discredited. Va'ata davrena alamelech ki loim na'ini mecha. And then she says something that is quite wondrous. She says, speak to the king because he won't keep me from you. In other words, you can marry me if you want. Just ask the king. Which, of course, is strange, and that's why Chazal say what they do about the nature of their relationship, that they were not halachically brother and sister, and it would be permitted for them to marry. But notice that she keeps invoking this relationship between Dina and the Shechem in the expressed in the interaction between Dina's brothers and the people of Shechem and Shechem and Hamor, the same kind of wording about lo yasachin b'Yisrael. It's a nevala. There's a cherpa involved. And that may be alluding to the fact that there are some non-Jewish backgrounds in their family, at least in her family, that may be informing some of this. In any case, he didn't want to hear what she had to say. He was stronger than her. He overpowered her. And he raped her. And then what happened? He then hated her. His hatred for her was greater than the love that he had had. And then Amnon said, get out of here. Now, this statement is something that in current psychology is very easy to understand. He is very angry at himself for his terrible behavior, and he transfers it outside to her and places that hate upon her. Also, this becomes the model in rabbinic literature of an ahava hatuluya b'davar, a love which is dependent on something, dependent in this case on the physical lust that Amnon felt, and once that was spent, then his love is replaced with an even greater and burning hatred. So he sends her out, doesn't want to see her. And then she says something that's really strange to us. Al, here meaning don't. Don't do this terrible thing. This other one that you're going to do to send me out, I didn't want to hear her. In other words, she's saying that this second thing of sending me out is even worse. Because what should he do? If he really is allowed to marry her, then once he has raped her, he should accept responsibility and do as the Torah said and to marry her. He calls his mansion messenger, his boy in, says, get this one out of her. You want him to say her name? Hachutza unol hadelat acharel. Lock her out. In the meantime, Valeha Ketonet Pasim. She is wearing a Ketonet Pasim. We're familiar again from the Yosef story. There are many evocations of the Yosef story here. But she's wearing a Ketonet Pasim. Ki chen tilbashta benot ha-melech. That's what the princesses wore. What is a Ketonet Pasim? Well, the word pas in Tanakh means an edge or an end, which means it's a garment that goes all the way to the end. Something worn by kings and queens and princesses who don't have to work. Translating Ketonet Pasim as a coat of colors or stripes is just a misunderstanding of the text. It's not what it means. Kichein tilbashna v'notam melech habtulot mi'ilim. That's what they would wear as their tunics. Vayotze otam sharto achutz v'nala delta chareha. So the mention of the garment will come up in a moment. It's foreshadowing here. But in the meantime, the kid threw her out and locked the door. Vatikach tamar efer al rosha. So she put ashes on her head. Now we find out why it's mentioned. Kara'a. She tore her garment. In other words, she mourned. She put her hand on her head and she walked around screaming. And she signs of mourning. So Avshalom evidently understood what was happening. He said, Ha'aminon achi chaya imach. Was Amnon your brother with you? He understood that. Evidently he heard that Amnon had summoned her. Maybe he knew that Amnon had designs on her. You be quiet. He is your brother. Don't say anything about it. But Am Shalom is not counseling silence for discretion, but silence rather as a strategy. Teshav Tamar v'shomima Beit Av Shalom Achia. She sat and she stayed in Am Shalom's house and she wasted away. David heard about this. He was very angry, but nonetheless, in the meantime, Avshalom said nothing to Amnon, not good nor bad. In other words, Avshalom hated Amnon for what he had done, but he didn't say anything to him. In the meantime, David is very angry, but David has said nothing to Amnon. And evidently, Avshalom is waiting to see how the king is going to respond. The king, of course, cannot respond, because how can the king turn and chastise his own son for his peccadillo? The son can easily turn around and say, Batsheva. And that, of course, is, as I mentioned, the sequence of events here, as one leads to the next. So 2 years later, they were shearing Avshalom's sheep. This is a big festival. We saw it in Perak Chafei of Shmuel Aleph. Asher im Ephraim. In Baal Chatzor, which is on the border between Binyamin and Ephraim, Vayikra Avshalom l'chol b'nei ha-melech. Avshalom summoned all the princes to come. Revo Avshalom ha-melech v'yomer, hinei na gozim li avdecha, yilechna ha-melech v'avadavim avdecha. So then Avshalom came and invited David and all of his servants to come to this festival. V'yomer melech al Avshalom, al b'ni. So no, my son, al na nelech kulanu. We won't all go, v'lo nechbar alecha. We don't want to burden you. V'yifotzpo v'lo aval alechad v'yivarcheu. And Avshalom kept pestering him, and David did not want to go, and he blessed him. If not, then yelech na itano amnon achi. So let at least Amnon, my brother, come. Amelech lama yelech imach, why Amnon? Amnon, of course, is the crown prince. So he's almost representing David. And so Avshalom kept pestering him, and finally he sent Amnon and the other princes, but David himself didn't go. So then Avshalom turned and commanded his own young men, saying, see when Amnon is feeling pretty happy in his cups. And I will tell you, haku et Amnon v'amitem oto. I want you to strike that Amnon and kill him. Al tiru, don't be afraid. You see that I'm commanding you. That's what I mean seriously. Be strong and be valorous soldiers doing this. Now, it's hard for us to speculate what would have happened had David accepted Avshalom's invitation and come, or did Avshalom know from the get-go that David wouldn't accept it, but he just used it as a strategy to get him to see the invitation of Amnon as something of a compromise. Unclear. So Avshalom's young men did exactly what he commanded. And then all of the princes got up. They saw that in the middle of this festivity, all of Avshalom's young men killed Amnon. And they all got up and they ran away each on their own mule. This is where there's smoke, there's fire, but smoke itself is not fire. They were on the way, and the word came to David saying Avshalom had killed all of the princes, and nobody was left. But the king evidently was disconnected enough that he believed this. And the king got up, and he tore his clothes, and he lay on the ground, and all of his servants stood there with their garments torn. He believed the word. He believed the rumor. Now the same Yonadav who gave Amnon the advice of how to get to Tamar then spoke up and said, "Vayomer, al yomar aduni et kol hanarim b'nei melachim itu. Don't say that he's killed all of them. Don't think that Amnon levado mate. It's only Amnon. Ki al pi Avshalom haita suma miyom anoto et Tamar choto. It was based on Avshalom's ruling and Avshalom's direction because he has been keeping an eye on Amnon that whole time from the time that he raped Tamar. Don't think that they've all died. Ki Amnon levadomet, only Amnon. Vayvrach Avshalom vayisa anar hatsofe et einav vayar v'hinei am rav holchim miderach acharav mitzad ahar. And Avshalom in the meantime ran away, and the lookout for David looked up and he saw that everybody is coming on from the mountainside. You see, it's exactly what I told you. You see, they're all coming. And when he finished talking, all of the princes came, and they cried, and the king cried, and his servants cried. They all cried. Avshalom barach. In the meantime, Avshalom had run away to the north. Vayelech el Tamai ben Amihud melech Geshur. He ran to the king of Geshur, which is east, around the Kinneret, and a little bit north of the Kinneret, who was his mother's father. Right? Abel al-Beno kol hayamim. And David mourned for his son for many days. Which son is that? Is that Amnon or Avshalom? Deliciously ambiguous. Avshalom barach. Again, Avshalom barach. This is something that Rav Elchanan Samet has dealt with, the three mentions of Avrach Avshalom, Avshalom barach, Avshalom barach. I believe it's in one of the first 15, it is in one of the first 15 issues of Megadim around Yud Aleph Yud Bet. Avshalom barach v'yelach gishur v'hisham shalosh shanim. Was there for 3 years. Atchal David ha-melech latzeit al Avshalom kinicham al Amnon kimeit. And David stopped coming out to greet Avshalom, stopped anticipating Avshalom. He was sad about Amnon who had died. And now we have a family that really is starting to unravel. Amnon is dead. Tamar has been raped. Avshalom is in exile. What will happen? Well, we'll see in the next parak the beginning of the possibility, the potential of a salvation for the family, but one that will not be fully realized and that will lead to far greater consequences that we will see begin to take root at the end of next chapter and afterwards in the chapter following. In the meantime, we will halt at this point with our study of Perek Yud Gimel. Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast, Perek Yud Dalet. Everyone should have a nice day.